This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are moving on to our next story.
So yesterday, our 101 segment was about vernacular education. We spoke with Dr. Kwa Kia Sung about the history and current state of Chinese schools. If you missed that segment, you can download the podcast on Spotify or on our BFM app by looking up the words, by looking up the keywords 101 vernacular education.
And today we'll be focusing our attention on Tamil schools. So to help us with that, we have on the line S. Pasupati, the director of My Skills Foundation. He's also been advocating for Tamil vernacular education for a long time.
Pasu, thank you so much for joining us. So based on the number of Tamil schools in the country, it looks as if Tamil schools are facing a particularly difficult situation. During independence, there were 888 schools. Today, it's decreased by almost half to 524. What led to this decline?
Okay, I think the number of Tamil schools is not reflective of decline in students. You know, in 1957, when there were only 888 schools, but now there are 524. But that time the Tamil school population was 50,000, but now it's nearly about 90 to 100,000. So the population of school-going children has doubled, although the number of schools has dropped. Basically, because of the fragmentation of estates after 1957. A lot of policies, British left their states and their states are fragmented and urbanization. I'll just give you an example. When Putrajaya was established, four estates disappeared and only four Tamil schools also disappeared. Only one Tamil school in Taman Permata was established. So you see, it's urbanization, it's a fragmentation and consolidation of schools into one school because of low enrollment. So it is it's wrong to say the number of students have declined. In fact, the number of students have increased.
There's also the perception that Tamil schools are less competitive when it comes to quality of education and that parents from higher income groups avoid sending their children to Tamil schools. How accurate is that perception?
This perception is totally unfounded because quality of education is not a Tamil school issue. It's a national issue. If you look at the PISA studies and program for international student assessment, the ranking of science and maths internationally, Malaysia ranks one of the lowest in the world. So it's a national issue. In fact, a number of if you look at Tamil schools, they are on par with national schools. In fact, in terms of science, maths, English, except for Bahasa Malaysia, where they standard up the quality. The quality of Bahasa Malaysia taught in national schools and Tamil schools differ. Except for that, I think Tamil schools are one part. You see, this is maybe the talk of the upper middle class who cherish English education and they think English education is a panacea for everything. I think it's a wrong conception. Definitely this perception that quality of Tamil school is deteriorating is definitely wrong.
Before we move on, can you walk us briefly through the history of how Tamil schools were set up in the country?
Okay, Tamil schools, it was established sometimes in 1860. It's about 203 years old. You know, Tamil schools are 203 years old. It was part of Penang Free School. I mean, of course, it started as a missionary preachers who wanted to give education to poor Tamil kids. So it's part of the Penang Free School. And, you know, the Indian laborers were brought in from India to work in the plantation. And at that time, there was an agreement between the Indian government and Malaysian government to provide basic education for these plantation kids. So there was, say, you look at Tamil schools, and Tamil schools did not come under the Education Ordinance 1946. It was under the Labor Court Ordinance, you know, under the labor law, where the plantation owners were compelled to provide Tamil schools for them. Whenever there are more than 10 children who are above the age of 7, they got to provide the school, set up infrastructure to teach their children. So they were keen to teach basic Tamil education from 6 to 12, and definitely the plantation owners were not interested in taking the education to the next level, secondary level. So you look at Tamil schools, although it has a very poor, humble beginning in the before independence, and it's only after independence and later in the year of 2000 and later years when the middle class start realizing, you know, when they look for self-identity, self-dignity and self-pride, and they realize mother tongue education is one of the components which provides all these ingredients. You know. So the importance for Tamil school education has doubled, right, after the year 2000.
And in more recent years, there has been this perception that the plight of Tamil schools is closely tied with ongoing politics. Can you kind of, you know, help to take us through that?
Okay, definitely. Before Pakatan Harapan took over, Tamil schools were very tied up with MIC politics, you know. And basically because the political structure then, vice a national political structure, our current Prime Minister Mahathir was part of the structure. It was such where all the allocation for Tamil schools or Chinese schools were done through MCA, and for Tamil schools was done through MIC. And secondly, to add on to it, and Tun Samiru was the Works Minister, and it was easier for the government to channel the money to the Works Ministry to build or renovate Tamil schools. So most of the funds were channeled to political channels. It was actually, it should have been done through the Minister of Education, you know. It was not done because of political efficacy, like they wanted to do it fast and they didn't want to, I mean, they, so it, and then also to strengthen the politics of MCA and MIC, so it was done. And it's only now, of course, that things are changing, that this is everything have to go through Minister of Education. And so it is quite right to say, before Pakatan Harapan, Tamil schools were quite closely tied up with MIC, especially MIC. And it's not because MIC wanted to tie up with Tamil school. I think the political system then enabled MIC to link very closely with Tamil schools.
We're speaking today with S. Pasupathi, Director of My Skills Foundation, talking about Tamil vernacular education as part of our week-long look into vernacular schools in our country. Up next, we're going to kind of explore how things have been under the current government. If you have any thoughts, if you went to a vernacular school, we want to hear from you. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:15 and you are with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman today. It is 7, which means, as we said, that we are doing a week-long dive into this issue of vernacular schools, vernacular education. And today we're focusing on Tamil vernacular education with S. Pasupathi, who's the director of My Skills Foundation. Earlier, we were talking about how politics has really affected Tamil education in the country. And now, could you describe to us the situation with the current government?
Situation now is slightly different. You see, now the lot of schools that are halfway completed, three-quarter completed by the BN government, now, where they need the funds, and they said now you have to follow the different formula. Everything have to go through Minister of Education. No more the allocation by the Prime Minister. Now, it's very interesting. During the bi-national government, before last year, nearly about 900 million ringgit was spent upgrading Tamil school and setting up new schools. In fact, one school in Taman Sentosa was set up newly built by the BN government at a cost of more than 20 million. So it was all done through either Prime Minister's department, through Prime Minister's department, and not exactly to the active involvement of Minister of Education. But now things have changed, and the current Education Minister wants everything to be done through Minister of Education. So this has caused a lot of delay in completing the uncompleted Tamil schools.
So far, we still don't have a Tamil secondary school in the country. And just yesterday, the Deputy Minister of Education, Tioni Ching, mentioned that a committee has been set up to study the need for this. Why do we still not have a Tamil secondary school?
This is a highly politicized issue because when the Pakatan Harapan, the component party, DAP, was in the opposition, they started in Penang, where the Penang government said, okay, we have allocated 2 or 3 acres of land, and they have written to the Ministry of Education then under the Bison National Government for a license, and the Bison National Government, according to them, has rejected. Now, the government is Pakatan Harapan, and I think giving a license for secondary education is not a big issue, but the fact remains, what sort of secondary school we're going to have, what is the syllabus going to be, what exams you're going to do, and all that need to be. I think that the Deputy Education Minister is right. They need to set up a panel and see the modality, and especially the sustainability. You see, whether it's going to be wholly funded by the government, or is it going to be funded by 50% by the government, they can come up with whatever formula. I think she is correct. I think a first study should be done, and it should be inclusive. Whether the need for Tamil secondary school is highly debatable, and I think the Indian educationists are not definitely the one as a Tamil secondary education, especially when education is, is the liberalization of education. When last 10 years, you see hundreds of private education establishments have been granted license, and a lot of international schools have come up. I think giving a license to a Tamil secondary school is no way going to jeopardize the education system of the country.
Okay, now there's also the issue of teaching science and maths in English, which came up again recently. What is the current status of the issue in the context of Tamil schools?
Okay, teaching of science and maths, it was started by, again, our current Prime Minister back in PPSMI, Pengajaran dan Pempelajaran Science and Mathematics in English, teaching and studying of science in science and mathematics in English way back in 2003. And later, 2009, they said they're not going to continue the policy, and of course, 2012, it was completely discontinued. And again, now the Prime Minister is bringing back this idea of teaching of science and math in English. So you must understand, science and math are concept subjects, and they should be taught in mother tongue. When I say mother tongue, it's a language spoken to the children at home. So if the father and mother speaking to the children in English, then the mother tongue is English. When the father and mother are speaking in Tamil or in Cantonese or Mandarin, then it is their mother tongue, and it's no more English. So as when you see predominantly Tamil school, 70-80% of children going to Tamil school come from B40, the working class, and the spoken language is Tamil. I said, I've been educational activist for more than 30 years. I firmly believe it should be taught in mother tongue, in Tamil. But you see, sometimes, we also must entertain the opposing view that within the Indian community also, which supports the teaching of science and math in English. And I think, if you really ask me, I think, again, going back to our Prime Minister, who was in 1974-75 as Education Minister, if you really want to teach science and math in English, I think it's best we bring back the English stream schools, English stream primary school and English stream secondary school. Then you can teach the whole subjects in English. I'll give you an example. Children going to do medicine in Russia or Ukraine, they do Russian language in Russian language. They just don't study the technical language in Russian. You go to study basic Russian. If you go to Germany, you go to study the German language before you're going to do science and technology in German language. So, I don't know, and there's ample studies by UNICEF and a lot of research papers which shows science and math best taught in mother tongue. I mean, mother tongue means, again, I'm going back to the simple definition, if it's the children speaks to their parents in English, it should be in English, and they speak in Malay or Chinese or Tamil, it should be in the respective mother tongue.
Right. But the argument that was put forth by Tun Mahathir recently was that it would be difficult to catch up, not just learn, but catch up on science and maths related fields, given the challenges in translating new research to other languages. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't agree with that idea. I'll just give you an example. I did my chemical technology in UKM in 1979 until 83. I did my Form 6 in English. Now I just moved to, when I went to University of Bangsan, UKM, University of Bangsan, Malaysia, 100% in Bangsan, Malaysia. And we did all the research papers were in English. We could study, and then we could study in Malay, and then we could do the exams in Malay. So it doesn't really hamper the thing, you know. So if you really converse in that particular language, you can read. So the argument, the teaching of science and math in English, I think it needs to be properly debated. If you want to teach English, increase the number of English lessons, English hours in Tamil schools and Chinese schools and Malay schools. Increase the number. Teach them basic English so that they become proficient in English. Not teach English through... How can you teach English? I mean, like I give you an example, photosynthesis. You talk about the plant making the food through light energy and all that. How are you going to teach to a student in Center 4, Center 5? In English, when the student don't even understand what is the meaning of photosynthesis, and they don't, I mean, they're reading the sentence, they don't comprehend what is the process. That's why, again, I say it's a concept subject, and they best taught in their respective mother tongue.
There's also the argument that vernacular schools prevent students of different races from interacting with one another, and therefore we should convert to a single stream education system for unity. What's your take on this?
This is very sensitive. I just give you an example. Take the number of students in Tamil schools and take the number of students in ITM and UITM. the number of students in the mono-ethnic students in UITM and ITM all exceed the number of students in Tamil schools. Why aren't we talking about introducing other races in that particular institution? So it's very it's highly politicized. I think leave education to education is let the 200 years the Tamil education, the Chinese education is proven. It's only the government policies post 1969 now that has caused a lot of diversion among the three races. If any political analysis were to do that, the policies of the government after 1969 that divided the people into which are different races and caused a lot of disharmony among the races is not the vernacular schools.
So you've been advocating for Tamil vernacular education for over 30 years. What is it about Tamil schools that you feel is so important, and where do you want to see things heading in the future?
Well, this is very fundamental. Mother tongue education is a birthright. It is not something that we got to champion. It's a birthright. It's a human right. So, and it gives self-pride, dignity, and respect to that particular community. And as it be Chinese, Malay, if a Malay, I think they should learn Bahasa Malaysia, Chinese in Mandarin, and Tamil in Tamil. The sub-ethnic group, they should know their mother tongue. So it's nothing to champion about. It's, internationally, it's your birthright. And I think Tamil schools here, currently you see a lot of Tamil school children going to international science competition, chess competition. I mean, they have also gone to cultural dance performance in Russia, Ukraine, and in athletics also they are doing quite well. So if you see all the M40, the middle class Indians they get competitive compared to 20, 30 years ago. I see a lot of lawyers, engineers, doctors sending their children to Tamil school. So the standard of Tamil schools is coming up. So, of course, you talk about the quality of education, you got to talk about the national education policies. So I think Tamil schools are here to stay, and definitely it will not hindrance the national unity. In fact, by knowing Tamil together with Bahasa Malaysia and English, I think it will foster a closer relationship among the Malaysians.
Pasu, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was S. Pasupati, Director of My Skills Foundation. If you have any experiences or thoughts that you'd like to share on the subject of vernacular schools, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.